The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. We're all necessary. And Hebrews says, but encourage one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And one of the great sins that plagues so many Christians is the discouragement of thinking he doesn't have anything to offer. And that's why affirmation is so powerful. I remember a friend of mine several years ago, he was my mentor, one of my mentors. One time I counted that I'd had about 19 in my life that had really mentored me. But he said, I have found that affirmation is far more powerful in changing another person's life than confrontation. Most of us know. I remember my wife telling me one day, she says, you know, Jim, when I fail, when I've blown it, she says, I know that. But she says, somehow when you don't make an issue of that, but you affirm me in what I do right, she says, everything within me wants to just change. And I think that's so true. I can look back in my own life and the times when I was down. I can remember somebody came and just said a word, and I've remembered some of those for years. So we need to encourage each other. Max did that tonight for me. I was sitting over there and my phone vibrated and I realized I had a call. I looked and sure enough, I knew it was Max's number. So I went out and he said, I just wanted to pray for you and to pray for all the confreres there, Jim. And his voice sounded much better than it did Thursday morning when he called me from Atlanta. So at Max Barnett. Man, how I thank God for the day I met him back almost 30 years ago. And we're just like Jonathan and David. I'm not sure which one's Jonathan and which one's David. We switch roles. But anyway, he's much better tonight. And I'd like to just lead us in a prayer for Max, that God would continue to strengthen him. Father, what beautiful words, John wrote to his beloved friend in 3 John. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Wow. Lord, Max's soul prospers. We've all been blessed by him. So tonight, we pray that he would feel underneath him the everlasting arms. That he would feel the reality of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We reach out like the four friends and just lower him through the roof right into your lap and pray that you would touch him and heal him and strengthen him and put joy and peace and courage in his heart. And Sandra's, Lord, oftentimes the mate who is not sick is one who bears a special burden. So tonight we pray for Sandra. And Lord, we ask that through this sickness, which has been very serious, that in the days ahead, Max would experience an anointing, a power, a rest, and a peace in his life like he's never known. And God, that his best, most effective, powerful days may be yet ahead. So we wrap our arms around him and pray for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight, I'm going to do a little something unusual here in the beginning. I want all of you to just put your hands out in front of you and just kind of turn them over, just kind of like this. And don't be looking at anybody else's hands. Just look at your own. And don't even look at me. Just look at your hands. You can kind of move them around. Check your fingernails, whatever you want to do. You know, but just focus on your hands while I read this testimony. An old man, probably some 90 plus years, sat feebly on the park bench. He didn't move, just sat with his head down, staring at his hands. When I sat down beside him, he didn't acknowledge my presence, and the longer I sat, I wondered if he was okay. Finally, not really wanting to disturb him, but wanting to check on him at the same time, I asked him if he was okay. He raised his head and looked at me and smiled. "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking," he said in a clear, strong voice. "I didn't mean to disturb you, sir, but you were just sitting here staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were okay," I explained to him. "Have you ever looked at your hands?" he asked. "I mean, really looked at your hands." I slowly opened my hands and stared down at them. I turned them over, palms up and then palms down. "No, I guess I never really looked at my hands," as I tried to figure out the point he was making. Then he smiled and related this story. Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have, how they have served you well throughout your years. These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, have been the tools I have used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They braced and caught my fall when I was a toddler. I crashed upon the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them in prayer. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They dried the tears of my children and caressed the love of my life. They held my rifle and wiped my tears when I went off to war. They have been dirty, scraped, and raw, swollen, and bent. They were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone special. They wrote the letters home and trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse and when I walked my daughter down the aisle. Yet they were strong and sure when I dug my buddy out of a foxhole and lifted a plow off of my best friend's foot. They have held children, consoled neighbors, and shook in fits of anger when I didn't understand. They've covered my face, combed my hair, washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They've been sticky and wet, bent and broken, dried and raw. And to this day, when not much of anything else of me works real well, these hands hold me up, lay me down, and again continue to fold in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of my life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when He leads me home. And He won't care about where these hands have been or what they've done. What He will care about is to whom these hands belong and how much He loves these hands. And with these hands, He will lift me to His side. And there I will use these hands to touch the face of Christ. And the lady says, "No doubt I will never look at my hands the same again. I never saw the old man again after I left the park that day, but I'll never forget him and the words he spoke. When my hands are hurt or sore, or when I stroke the face of my children, I think of the man in the park. I have a feeling he has been stroked and caressed and held by the hands of God. I too want to touch the face of God and feel his hands upon my face. Thank you, Father God, for hands." Isn't it amazing what you can be thankful for? Isn't that something? You just stop. We have such a tendency in life to look at what we don't have and things that go wrong. And Paul said in Philippians 2:14-16, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." So as I grow older, Jerry and I will walk, we're getting to the place, I'll be 71 next week. I walk into a room sometimes, I think, why did I come in here? She's doing the same, we're just 6 months apart. But I said, "Honey, let's agree to just laugh at ourselves. Let's don't get uptight over this, because that might make it worse. Let's just laugh about it and realize that this is all part of preparation for going home." And but that article just inspired me to think about this wonderful body that I have. Have you ever noticed, guys, that almost everything in your body is designed for pleasure? You just think about it, all your faculties. We hear this beautiful music, Paul, and you guys singing, and the sound goes in the ears. It's pleasure. Tonight I was over there when they were barbecuing the chicken, and I walked up and thought, "Oh man, I don't think I can wait an hour to go in there." You know, it's smelling. And then you see a beautiful sunset. Or you look at your beautiful bride, and she's beautiful to you. Your eyes behold that. The taste of food. Wow. And then touch. I remember 1 month before Doss Trotman died, he came to Dallas, and I drove up with some students from Baylor University, and I got out of the car, and I had met Doss the summer before. I had been an errand boy for his secretary, Addie Rosenbaum. We used to call her Rosie Adambaum, but her name's Addie Rosenbaum, see? So, but Doss, I'd had a lot of encounters with him that summer, and he was the same age as my father. And I drove up and got out of the car, and Doss saw me drive up, and he ran out the door. And as he was running down the sidewalk, I ran toward him, and he grabbed me and hugged me. And then he caught me by the shoulders, and with a big smile, he looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Jim, it's so good to see you." Guys, that was 49 years ago. I still remember that. And about 60 years after Jesus went back to heaven, John wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." And then you just think of the touch. And then Dr. Ed Wheat's written a book on sexual pleasure and marriage, and the title of the book is Intended for Pleasure. I mean, everything God has given us is designed to enjoy. And we heard a wonderful testimony. Oh, I tell you, Dick Wakeman's workshop this afternoon was life-changing and moving. And the testimony of the gentleman that you had, Dick, telling how it was late in life when he realized he had not learned to give thanks, to thank God for the blessings. A.W. Tozer, he's outside the Bible, probably Oswald Chambers and A.W. Tozer have been the most influential people in my life, the writers. And Tozer's little book, The Root of the Righteous, is a series. They're not connected, but they're editorials that he wrote for the Alliance Weekly when he was the editor of the Alliance Weekly. And one of them is entitled, Thanksgiving, a Moral Therapeutic. And he just says it's so easy to become cynical in life and critical. And he says, I don't know of anything that will keep you from becoming a bitter, cantankerous, old person other than to learn the art of thanksgiving. And he says, when you really learn to do it, you can spend whole days giving thanks. And you know, guys, it's amazing. I can think back to Grace Yergin, my 8th and 9th grade English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher in my church. She could never keep her bra strap on over here on the left. And we all used to laugh because she'd be reaching in and pulling it up, you know, and so... Boy, she was the old-fashioned type. Man, she had us diagramming 20 sentences a day. Complex sentences, simple sentences, compound sentences. And we had to learn the nouns, verbs, pronouns, adverbs, conjunctives, all of those things, see. 20 sentences a day. I said to her one day, I said, Ms. Yergin, I'm never going to use this stuff. Why do we have to diagram 20 sentences a day? She just smiled. One day I said to her, Ms. Yergin, just one time, would you say, no diagramming for tomorrow? And she laughed. She never did that. 5 days a week, throughout the whole term, for 2 straight years, I diagram sentences. I can do it in my sleep. But let me tell you something, guys. Every time I open my Bible, that English grammar jumps out at me as to what the writer is saying. And when I thank God, I think, oh, Lord, thank you. I can go back to her grave there in the cemetery at Hollis, Oklahoma, and say, Grace Yergin, thank you for teaching me the parts of speech. Because when I read and when I write, I have to use that. Guys, so many people, and I can think of people who've been kind to me and who have encouraged me, the people who have rebuked me. I told you this morning about how Leroy Iams shot me that note. Kind of stunned me. And I thought, man, if you saw that, Leroy, all 14 others around this table did too. I felt like a worm. But you know, you can't learn humility without being humiliated. It's only one way. So, how'd I get on all this? I'm probably warming up for what I want to do. Tonight, if I can do it, this is the first time I've done it, ever. I really struggled when Max asked me to take this message. I said, well, Max, that's not mine to do. I mean, he said, would you cover for me? And I said, that's not mine to do. But I'll tell you what, I'll take it off of you since you're so sick. But I'll call John, and because John may have somebody in the wings, and if he does, we'll get you covered. So, you know. But John wanted me to do it, and so Thursday I came down. And John, I brought a message or two, you know, to you know, one that I've preached in the past and that God has blessed, but somehow the Lord wouldn't really burden my heart with that. But let me go back a little bit. There was a sermon that I heard early in life, and I really grabbed hold of it. ...34 years ago. And I memorized it. But I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold it. It frustrated me. And every year for 34 years... I would come to it in my back review, and I'd say, oh God, this is defeating me. And I'd pray, Lord, someday help me to get this. Not just to remember it, but that it would come into my heart, my mind and my heart, and change the way I live. Lord, I want to get the intent of this sermon. And guys, I want to tell you with all my heart, I may fall flat on my face before you tonight because I cried, this is the first time I've done it. But this last year, God has given me Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I find myself almost every day just meditating through some of these parts. So if you don't scare me too bad, I might make it through it. So, but the greatest sermon ever preached was by Jesus Christ. When he saw the crowds, most of the time he felt compassion for the crowds. In chapter 9, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. He told his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest, because these people need help. But this particular day, back in chapter 4, he was moving, and it says when he saw the crowds, he went up into a mountain and his disciples came to him. So tonight, I want us just to meditate together. I'm going to go slow, and I want us to meditate on these words that came from the heart of Jesus Christ to his disciples. And we're all his disciples here, and I'm asking the Lord to speak to us through this. Father, thank you for that very encouraging prayer that you laid on Kirk's heart to pray for me tonight. And I just now commit my mind, my heart, my tongue. And Lord, help us to feel ourselves around his feet, up there where it's quiet. There's no internet. There's no telephones, no cell phones. No desks. Nothing. Boy, Lord, when you climb up a high mountain, it's really quiet up there. And tonight, speak to us the way you spoke to your disciples up there. In Jesus' name, amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, stupid, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites are, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the life more than food, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly how to help thy brother cast out the mote out of his eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Father in heaven, your Son has spoken to us tonight through the words he spoke to his disciples 2,000 years ago. God, may these words burn in our hearts. May they go from our minds down into the ends of our fingertips and our toes. And in the hour of trial, in the hour of temptation, in the hour of discouragement, bring these words to our minds. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall make them stumble. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for letting us come up here to this conference, this retreat. In some ways, Lord, this is like going up into the mountain with you. We're away from everything. And we've heard you speak through workshops. And we've heard you speak through messages. And especially around those tables and out for a walk with someone. Lord, I think of Rod, my son, who said, Dad, the messages have been great, the workshops, very practical and helpful. But the outstanding thing is just the fellowship with individuals here. And boy, God, I agree with that. Thank you for you not only called us to the head, but you've called us to your body. And may we look upon each other as brethren. In Christ's name, amen.